commercials for television.
It's like John Oswald.
Sort of,
God,
yeah.
I can't. I must believe it. Like a 30-minute commercial. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's an 8-week commercial, and there's no ending.
There's no ending. No, it's like a Newsweek show.
No, he's doing perfume commercials, and he's basing each commercial on a classic film from the 40s.
Yeah, so he's going to put all the film backwards and like say everything forwards.
That's right. And there'll be hidden messages.
So as a Manipian satirist, he knows he can work in any medium. So that's the detachment that's necessary for an artist today. What did Tim tell you about my show? We should be talking about me, not David, so much. You know that David said he owed everything to Bob?
Tim said he owes everything to you, Bob.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Tim does. Well, what does he owe to me, though? What did he get from me?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
What did he get from me? You know,
he hasn't seen Twin Peaks, and we've made a pact that we're going to watch the whole show one day this Sunday.
By taping it.
No, we've already got a tape. I'm gonna put it on the videotape. We're gonna watch the whole show.
That's a great experience. It's addictive. You'll have that addictiveness satisfied for at least 20 hours or whatever.
No, I think a month.
Eight hours.
Month.
It's an 8-hour show, I think. Yeah, month. Yeah. So you never heard the show. You don't know I'm on a political campaign here.
You're on a political campaign?
Yeah, I run the solar government, but my campaign is to have you find out that that's what's happening. And then the more you find out that I'm running the show, then we can implement my policies because you'll be able to match with them. That's the point. I already do run the show behind the scenes.
They did.
Or the whole global theater. Now, this is preposterous to say, but most people can't believe it, but it's taken at least 3 years now to educate a few people to begin to dimly perceive that's true. We had Tom on there saying to me 2 weeks ago that it's lonely at the top. He knows I'm the greatest artist alive today. And Jerry's doing an article on me for Mondo called The Greatest Artist Alive Today. This is a fact. The point is that so many discarnate, super angelic megalomaniacs run around thinking they're candidates that we can't get them to understand, to bow down, not in a negative way, but to bow down and acknowledge my agenda, and we get this media ecology on the road.
My God, Bob, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, isn't that startling?
Don't lose your words there.
Well, it's in the gap. You know that people get attention if they start to stutter, so I don't mind stuttering occasionally because it creates a little interval and people listen harder.
Okay, no, my girlfriend's yelling at me in the ear right now. She's asking me, what do you think about the environment? If you're on a political campaign, you must have some view on the environment. Like, really, we're going clichéville right now.
Yeah, you know what I say about the environment? Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. Turn all of it off. Even those screaming about greenism, eco-fascists, turn them off. Turn it all off. Turn the industrial, turn every environment off. And you know how you do it? You turn off TV. That'll slow us to a standstill.
God, I just listen to the radio.
Oh, yeah, that's the only anesthetic you can have today. But no, we're talking about TV as the motor mechanism of fashion and war making. So,
that's an awful thing, but my girlfriend's dead now. She just killed herself.
Just now. Yeah, that's what happens. I used to do that years ago.
Sounds like another performance piece.
Yeah, kill people on the air. I've done that. They never caught me either. I can confess it. Nobody believes it. So scot-free again. Freemasonic, the secret society in Edinburgh. The Scottish Freemasons.
Bob, it's been a real pleasure.
It hasn't been a pleasure, has it?
No, it has been, actually.
Can you prove that? How can we feel your pleasure? How could you express it so I could feel it?
How can you express it?
Yeah, no, how can I feel it?
How about a rebel yell?
Well, come on over.
Ah!
Okay, you can stay on the air. That was a scene, but don't get paranoid. We're okay.
No, listen. Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you do me a favor? Can you say hello to Tim?
When I see him? Or right now?
Tim Hennessy.
Right now?
Tim, come here. He's sitting across the room right now. He wants to say hello to you.
It's the 22nd. He better be ready for it. He's saying hello to me on the 22nd. His first
okay,
time.
Okay, here we go. 20 seconds. I'm counting down. 19.
20 seconds.
18.
Dear Dr.
17.
Reed.
Hi, Bob.
Tim.
We have good
reason. It's been a while, Tim. What was it? In Kenya about 400 years ago, right?
That
no. I've never read any
of special
James Joyce or...
Hey, no,
and I listen to your tapes. It's all taped and over and over, and I still don't know what you're talking about.
To
but
serve you.
But you like it. I communicate.
I like it.
I communicate before and beyond understanding. That's the point here.
I know. Well, I'm trying to get a grasp on it, but
that's not important.
It slowly sinks in. I think after...
You have long...
It's like sex. Like, when you have sex, you like it, but you don't understand it when you think about it, right? You can't understand sex.
We
right?
Want to make
so
it
I'm sex. Audio sex, as Jerry's friend Lisa said. It's something you enjoy, and we'll just keep, tactile rubbing. And, Tim, we did we kill Tim? Where did, is he still there?
Kill Tim.
Swamp gas, Tim. So do you know Tim Howe?
No.
Okay. Do you know...
is he a musician?
Mike told me not to go into personal stuff. Okay. Yeah, Tim's a musician. Yeah, Niagara.
Yeah, somebody here knows him.
Yeah, Niagara. You know, Clunder. Harold Clunder, is it, Mike? Harold Clunder. So, Tim, you know what I mean by sex, right? It's
I had it once.
Yeah, and you don't understand it fully, right?
No.
But you're going to keep taping it. Keep taping that personal sex you have. Play it back to us. Play it back to me, Bobby.
Play it back, Bobby.
When the women...
Yeah, that's what we need, some more real slack from Garrett Dean.
Oh, my God. This is that, Mike. I just quoted Garrett. Did you know that?
Request.
Yeah, I know that. That's
how
why
did you
I
know
said
that. That's amazing. You remember what he said?
Well, I got Garrett Dean. You said something on that tape about this has been an amazing show and somebody wasn't there to tape it, but it is taped. We have it taped.
Oh, what show is that, Mike?
February 22nd, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we did get that one. The one where we were doing a lot of reverb.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, Garrett, I talked about Garrett Dean. You remember when he goes, when the children are talking about when they were children, when the
farmers
farms
were talking about when they had fields and
when the fields
the mothers were talking about when they had lovers.
This guy's got it down. I love you, Tim. I'm going to give you a personal audition.
Garrett had that slack sensibility.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you perfect introduction to Garrett. You've got a private audience. We'll offer that as a prize during fundraising, too, Mike. A personal audience with Garrett. Yeah, you're amazing, Tim. Are you any relation to Garrett?
No, I just...
You just pay attention to
heard
the
heard him that one night.
Yeah, do that again. When the fields were talking when they were fields. When the mothers were talking about when they were lovers. What's the next one? The children were talking about and the barns were talking about when they had roofs.
Children were talking about when they were children. Lay it back to me, Bobby. And what was... I wanted to know what that strange voice you were talking in that... The only time you talked normal was when Garrett said he was going to have... When he was said, shut up, Bobby, I'm going to faint. And you said, no, don't faint.
And I sounded normal?
Yeah, but the rest of the time you were talking in some strange voice.
Yeah, Garrett brings me out. He brings it out of me. Every holy office mutates me into a certain audio personality. You know, Elliot's The Wasteland originally was called He Do the Police in Different Voices. Who are the brain police? That's me. I do the police in different voices. But I don't do the voices myself. I change in response to the voices offered by the holy offices from McLuhan, Skolnick, and so forth. You know what I mean? You ever read Lyndon LaRouche? Have you got that far yet? That's tricky stuff to get into. Have you got that far?
I haven't understood one thing you've talked about in all this. You know, we listen to this over and over again. You're taking every day.
Well, I'll give you a clue. You got to go get Finnegan's Wake. Finnegan's Wake is what we use. We use Finnegan's Wake, which is a radio in print.
You know, I dropped out of school, 10, 12 years ago, and I tried to read some James Joyce years ago my brother gave to me.
Well, you have an advantage. You have an advantage. You see, it's the most intelligent people believe the myths of their time and are most successful at it. They're the ones who become the professional yuppies and leaders, and they believe the myths, and they become stupid.
I'm trying to get on welfare myself.
Well, that's the right direction. Go in that direction. Head for welfare, because that'll give you slack and give you time to understand Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
Communism is way better than Christianity. Communism is way better, far superior to Christianity. Okay, caller, we're ready, Mike. That's
okay.
It, Tim. You're
thank
wonderful.
You.
You're
bye,
a beautiful
bye,
person.
Bye, bye.
Oh, that guy is. Oh, that's a good student, Mike. I'm happy. On the 22nd, can you believe it?
Good night tonight, Bob.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Let's tell them what we're doing. We're taping this for our audition for a solar apparatus.
Do you think we should bring that up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bob Mackowitz,
well,
Jane Hotton, no?
If you want to get it out in the open, that's fine.
Okay, maybe later.
To
okay.
Be aware that, okay. Bob and Mike are applying for big money to get this show out over, nationwide, across the continent, if not across the country.
To make the solar government obvious, get us on satellite.
Yeah, and perhaps we could turn to our listeners at some point and ask for letters of support and phone calls, and they could phone Bob, the other Bob.
Bob Mackowitz
indicating that...
Down at the Torstar building.
They should support our
company. What was that? Room 2416.
Yes.
Room
2416.
CKEY
on
radio.
The 24th floor. There is no 25th floor. Well, there is, but you're not allowed
up there.
You
can't get up there.
Yeah.
So we got another caller?
We don't right now. It's quiet right now, which is unusual. I think it's sort of a calm because, after 1 o'clock, things...
Did we cut off Madison?
We lost Madison, Wisconsin.
Did you fail the whole keep on hold?
Well, I guess they'd hung up, so we went
They did perform well. But, Mike, it's important to bring in some new points.
Yeah, there is a phone call. Do you want to go to it?
Okay, yeah.
So we'll go to this call anyway. You're listening to CKLN FM 88.1, by the way, the Church of the Subgenius. My name is Michael Dyer with
J.R. Bobby.
Bob Dobbs. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling from my own swamp.
Oh, yeah.
It's next to the dehumidifier and just around the corner.
We can hear it.
Furnace.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm on the air.
You are? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
hi.
You don't have a radio.
Yeah. I
have Ken tell him. Ken should be over there.
That's okay.
Him.
We can handle it.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, there. I heard I'm on.
Yeah.
Can you hear us now?
Oh, there. Thank you.
Hello.
Oh, the dehumidifier went off, too. Anyway, I thought you were just plugging yourself. You were, one could say, you were hyping yourself, and this sounds promising.
Wait a minute.
National distribution, international distribution via satellite, intergalactic distribution of...
How did you hear this? This will give it away that this is scripted. You didn't hear. You're in a place with no radio, right?
Well, when I... sort of, yeah.
Okay, so you are listening. All right, all right. Okay.
But I wanted to give you a free plug.
Okay, go ahead.
On September 26th, J.R. Bob Dobbs and his co-pilot, Michael Dyer, will be presenting an exclusive interview with the Exists. Do they see all and know all and hear all?
Yeah. They see everything in our dimension.
Taste all?
No.
Oh, well...
They see and hear.
But they're going to be discussing some provocative issues of the 90s from a intergalactic viewpoint. Is that the...
Yep.
Yeah, there goes my plug.
They're going to be able to tell... Is this... You're reading... This is the ad that's going into Hype magazine?
This will be some kind of promotion in Hype magazine. And Hype magazine does live up to its name. I might as well hype it a bit.
Yeah. No, listen. The thing is about... that's a really good point. I don't know if the X's can smell us or taste us. What do you think, Mike? What's your intuition there in another dimension? I'm going to have to check that out.
Maybe that's a question for the next session.
Yeah, the hidden ground of our tactile environment is smell. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Ed, so...
Just wanted to mention that you have seen a few new listeners tonight, but the September 26th show, your exclusive audience with the Exists will be shared with your national audience.
The history of the Western conspiracy from 1400 till now, it is factual, it is relevant, it'll tell you...
I guess you'll have to hang up before I take it.
He's not talking to you, caller.
Okay.
The thing is that the history of the conspiracy for the last 600 years will be laid out in remarkable detail and giving you the pattern of the 90s and help you understand and have slack so that you can get back to fending its weight and more important matters.
One other theme in the show's coming up tonight about sexual difference.
Yeah.
You were talking about the campiness of David Lynch's Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And Twin Peaks seemed to be a female symbol from my junior high schoolyard.
Yeah.
There was a symbolism there with Twin Peaks. And then someone else mentioned the McDonald's subtext to it, which is somewhat male, I believe.
Well, part of Lynch's Manipian sensibility is that he's still in high school. You know what I mean? He's still a little kid.
And Manipian refers to the word Manipian.
You don't know?
No.
Oh, Manipian refers to a writer about 220 B.C., 230, 220 B.C., Menippus, M-E-N-I-P-P-U-S. There's only fragments of his work available, but he did the unmitigated, audacious act of mixing his prose and verse. He mixed his styles and forms in the writing of that time. It was considered quite blasphemous. Hence, Manipian satire comes from the tradition of his fragments, Menippus. Okay.
Sorry about that.
That was Madison?
No, we just lost Edward. I think.
What was that music?
That was not. That was feedback.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, we have another caller.
We have another Swamps caller from New York this time.
Okay.
So I thought we should go to it. Sorry, yeah. Edward. Apologies. Well, we're still not used to this phone system, so. Kent's just talking to the guy from New York now. Ken, I can take this guy now. M.
Number 14, and we'll be talking about number 14.
Yeah, so anyways, just in response to... never mind. Talk about, this comment about the environment and media ecology. And
what are you doing about the environment? We've analyzed it into various components to have this... iconic image of environment, then which one are we talking about, right?
Yeah.
Take it away, New York.
Okay. I'm going to go to it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
This is New York calling, right?
That's me.
Hi. It's Mike Dyer calling.
Speaking. This is Mark Block speaking.
Hi, Mark. We've got a guest here tonight. We've taken phone calls from all over. Plus, we've also got J.R. Bob Dobbs with us tonight.
A man with a pipe.
From the Church of the Subgenius. Yeah. So, Bob can't hear you. I can talk to you, but you're welcome to go.
Ask him if he knows Dean Latimer. Ask him if he knows Dean Latimer, Mike. High Times.
I'm known as the Band Man, and I got some of my music on in the background. The Veal Shop just took a photo of me. Let me play some of this stuff. It's from a tape I made called Gregorian Chants.
Okay.
So I'm just encouraging everyone to go with the word strike here instead of the art strike. I don't know if you've heard about that, but I say give the art word to the art world. Just take the word art and redefine it so that it means only things having to do with money. Then, basic idea is the things that people do that aren't for money, they won't have a name. They'll just people will just do them. And then the stuff that's sold, bought and sold, that'll be art. That includes, you know, we all have to be artists sometimes. We have to go to work and make some dough. That's fine. That's making art. But then when we do things just from our heart, then that's, well, we don't need to call that anything. We just do that.
Harder.
And so we're just here in New York doing that, basically. And I'm inviting you to drop us a line, P.O. Box 1500, New York, New York, 10009. It's the PAN headquarters. PAN stands for Postal Art Network. Official PAN post. I got a thing on the computer. That's very exciting. We got the computer conferencing going called PAN Scan. And if you guys got modems out there, 2400, 1200 baud, bottle air computer communications going on here. We got, let's see, what's the phone number? 718-398. Or 779.
Here's
Steel Shop to tell you that number one more time.
718-4779.
That's New Jersey.
That's the number of...
New Jersey.
Band Scan. So how you doing out there, anyway?
Good.
Enough
good
about me. What do you think of me?
Well, we can feel you.
I'm sorry?
We can feel you.
Oh, that's good. Well, we're going international here. I like that. We used to do fax international faxing... Now we're doing the computer phone call deal here. Give us a call. I mean, that number that you told us is actually the number that you would call with your computer. Now, you need to call another number to get that password that you need and get a 30-day password for free to call this thing with your modem there at home. I'm looking up the number right now in my phone book.
Hey, do you know Dean Latimer?
Chair near the speaker here. Got a song there in the background called Dog Paul Rhino. And here's that number that you call to get your password. Okay. It's what's that beeping sound?
It's Bob Dobbs.
Number you call, I'm sorry, 212-255-3839. 255-3839.
Okay.
In New York City. So anyway, that's what's happening here, and how are you?
Yeah, 3839. That's 3 and 8 is 11. 3 and 9 is 12. So that's 1112. That's 122. That's my address. And then 12 and 2 is 14. We're going to explain the significance
perfect.
Of 14 later.
Pythagoras, Heraclitus, Hegel. Everybody, jump up and down. We're doing it.
Dean Latimer. Anyway. Dean Latimer. High Times editor. Dean Latimer. Do you know him? David Wally. Lee Dalescu. How about Lee Dalescu in L.A.?
I don't think he's listening anymore.
Okay.
I think we should go to another caller.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
It's been fun. See you later.
Talk to you.
Dan, signing off. Kirk out.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kirk
hello,
out.
Are you on the air?
Yeah, the origin of the word camp was commonly acknowledged as male prostitute.
We didn't actually lose Edward. He just...
kept talking.
There was a gap there, and my sentence was quite interesting. Anyway, this is an interesting theme. Like Bob did confess to being a woman one night on the air, and one of the Holy Offices, Frank Zappa, wanted to call his band the Mothers, and then, well, I guess it was a wee little touch of pink when 23, 25 years ago, the record company said, of invention, they kind of nudged him to do that, and then there's, you know, one of the radical stars of early TV was Liberace, who certainly is exponent of camp, and there's still an edge about camp, about satire, you know, about irony, and
some of the audience seems turned off by Twin Peaks because of campiness. And it has gone beyond just being a cult term applied by police, you know, as a label to fringe people, to cross-dressers, marginal people. So there just seems to be a theme bubbling underneath, well, a theme bubbling underneath, Bob. There's 22 to the 22nd power sub-themes to your show.
Are you talking to me, Ed?
This happened to be.
You're talking to Mike, or to a kid in the background, right? You're on the air, you know.
One of them. Oh, am I on the air?
Yes, we've been just spying on you. So you thought you were talking to Kent.
Yeah, the dehumidifier went off again. I just heard you. Well, I...
The thing about this Lynch camp stuff is that it doesn't appear camp to me. It appears real, you know, the show. It's a documentary. That's the thing, is that to Pinks it's campy, or it seems to be a satire, but to the subgenius, it's
but
real. It's documentary to
I
me.
Am not quite sure.
What do you think, Ed?
I am not quite sure.
Yeah, that's your script. This is a new innovation in our show. We now have our prompters via audio. All right. The thing about camp is put on. I mean, editorials are take-offs.
I am now.
But what is put on?
An assistant.
To put on the audience,
the
as opposed to take off on somebody. That's the difference.
Of the Bank
right?
Street House.
Now, there's the question the
my
stripper takes off her clothes and puts on the audience.
I'm not.
She wears the audience. That's what Mike liked about McLuhan when he went to see the topless. He was amazed at McLuhan's response when he said the topless people were wearing us.
Provide a good
so the stripper
background.
Takes off her clothes to put on the audience. So there's a fine line. Nudity is a fine line in the interval between taking off and putting on. We just got a pseudo-access communication. Mike has no idea where the is coming from. This is Eddie, and this is your dehumidifier. This is a phenomenal new point. We don't know where that we don't know where it came from.
Well, I'll be.
No, Ed, you're not getting off. What do you have to say about take off and put on?
Let me try something. I'll rectify this. I'm going to put Edward on hold. Edward's on hold. Go to that. That's gone. Come back to Edward.
Hello?
Hi.
Great.
Okay, beep's gone.
Edward, what do you think the difference is between take off and put on? This is your opportunity to tell everybody if you've got a breakthrough on that.
Take off and put on. I just had a vision of Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah?
Isn't that banal?
Dear,
well, it's the Mad Magazine is editorial.
Thank you.
It's sort of an editorial take off level.
Asking
the put on is more Saturday Night Live? Maybe put on as oral and take off is satire in a visual medium. Yeah, I think we could get that. Taking off is a put on visual means. Putting on is an oral or tactile culture is a form of satire. Ah, thank you. Well, I think you've helped me just by bringing up the Alfred E. Newman. That helps me clarify that distinction. Thanks, Ed. I think we should go to another caller, Ed, unless...
Good night.
Unless if we don't have any more callers, everybody call back. Scott, Tom,
yeah, I think
Tim.
The other gentleman was talking about Lockerbie, John Picton. Tom, was it?
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, that was...
Informative. Yeah, we should have Tom back if he's still awake.
Enjoying the show very much. Good work, gentlemen. Good
thank
night.
You.
Thank Edward.
Imagine Cecil Taylor allowing someone to come up in the middle of his piano solo. We're enjoying this, Cecil, very much. Keep going. That's never done anywhere else. This is jazz, Mike. This is the real jazz. What is jazz? Bill Grove used to ask, what is jazz? Well, it's right here every second Wednesday.
Well,
the real jazz.
This is improvisation.
Discarnate. Mike's looking out at the audience. He's grinning. He feels like the dead pianist from Grateful Dead.
Yeah, we do have another caller, so let's just keep him coming. Keep him coming. Fast, fast, fast.
The mic's page.
Little media bites. Here we go. Hi, CKRN. Hello?
None of you is there, Mike. That's their work.
Bob, yes. What is the second coming cushion?
Cushion, C-U-S-H-I-O-N? Or pushing? Jesus, it's like one of Christ's speeches. We didn't get a chance to hear it again. We're not sure what the question was, Mike. The second coming cushion, where cushion is the number 14, caller. Number 14.
Enjoy.
I would say that 18 and 22 refer to it
at your
Atlantic, whereas the number 14 is the new resurfacing of Lemuria consciousness. So look for 14 in the Pacific Rim, whereas the Atlantic Rim is 18 and 22. Oh, Mike, that's excellent, Mike. Excellent. You know, 122, 12 and 2 is 14.
Now, by practicing with dictation
so low,
as I said,
you won't believe
there is no reason to fail.
Oh, Mike, this is excellent. I'm starting to get... I'm going to have a second coming if I don't watch it, Mike. I'm starting to get that sex.
Well, we're...
What's the time?
It's about 20 after 1.
Oh, we got lots of time. I imagine you didn't bring any tapes in, Mike. You have nothing
scheduled,
right?
No, I didn't.
Right?
I didn't.
So we got lots of time. You know, there was something... you remember 2 weeks ago, someone played the tape of The Bubbling Water. Re-listening to the archives of that show, I thought that was a great communication because I think I was talking about water and stone before that. So this person...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't bring that tape in tonight.
Replayed the water theme. I don't know if they meant that consciously, but I was struck by the coherence of the contributions relating to themes that we had talked about earlier in the show. That was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Just thinking back to this other caller, you know, talking about... asking about your position as a politician on the environment... That bothers me. Why does that bother me, Bob? Was it because they were critical of my comments on David Lynch, but I wasn't sure why they were critical? Or
no, that's the other call. The environment call.
That was part of that same group of people, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That was the Tim guy. Yeah. Well, I don't think they... Well, okay.
Well, I mean, you know, if all they're doing... It sounds like they watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
It sounds like they're...
No, it sounds like they're film nuts.
You think so?
Yeah, because they're so precious.
It sounded like he was getting very defensive because he thought I was coming down on
David
on
Lynch.
Television.
And David Lynch.
And David Lynch, I guess.
And you weren't. You're a film scholar yourself.
Well, no, I wouldn't call myself a scholar.
Yeah, but you study film. I think we got something precious here is that this person values film so much, they're going to isolate the discounted experience of watching Twin Peaks with millions of others and have their own private showing. That's creating a little cocoon. That's electric autonomy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think the person, since they listen to our shows over and over and listen to tapes, they haven't got the drift. They misinterpreted you, misunderstood. And they also don't even know that environment is such a singular noun that we never talk in terms of the environment. That's a pictorial illusion, the environment. A pictorial illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Or part of the eco-fascism hologram that we're living in right now.
But the best way to understand TV is just to turn the sound off anyway.
That's right. It's a mime. It's a mimetic sculptural medium. It's
mm-hmm.
not acoustic. It's more acoustic than visual, but it's more tactile, which is sculptural, than acoustic or visual. This takes a long time. I mean, imagine this Tim guy and him and his friend will be taping, listening to this and trying to understand. Look, just read some of the Holy Offices. I'm just ripping off the Holy Offices.
Yeah.
I'm like John Oswald. I rip off the greats and create something new.
Well, no one remembers the words anyway.
Yeah, well, it's not important.
That's why people have to tape, so they can listen and re-listen.
It's an itch. It's an itch. They do want to get the meaning. That's part of the left hemisphere. It is. It's a functioning part of your apparatus. You got to satisfy it. Yeah, do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
You got a call?
Yes, we do, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's Tom calling, actually.
Oh, great.
I have this feeling it's Tom.
Okay, you predict it?
Yeah. Let's see.
Okay, Mike.
Hello.
Mike's first attempt.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Ah, Mike was right. His first attempt to be psychic here on the public situation.
Well, Bob, Wyndham Lewis wrote his book, Men Without Art.
Yeah, and you want to get back on that.
You are the only, you're the worst artist in the world. You're the only artist.
Yeah, I'm what?
We have to put up with you, Bob.
Yeah, this is very important, Tom. No, I don't take that as a compliment. I mean, I take it as a compliment because we know that new art is always ugly. The new important art is always ugly.
Yeah,
and I might come across as ugly.
Get away
too.
With.
What?
Art is whatever you can get away with.
I am the worst artist, but the mystery is why am I allowed on the air, right?
Well, I certainly wish they'd beef up the power.
Why, you can't get it?
No. But it would
for me. You wish more people heard me.
That's right.
That's what you mean.
Yeah.
I was listening to the archives of your comment last 2 weeks ago, and I had to thank you about how you praised my situation. I know it's not sentimental what you're saying, or what's that word where you know you're involved, incestuous. It's not incestuous. I can't remember the word. I'm not paying you. The point is you just make that as a detached statement.
Yeah, that's correct.
In other words, you don't even care. You don't even have to listen to my story. You know the worst and best artist and greatest artist is happening. You just need to know that.
That's right. It's interesting that it is happening in Toronto. But
Toronto is run 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah, two run two. The two runs the two. I mean, Toronto is the 2-2. Two run two.
Yeah.
Toronto. Bishop Tutu and Toto.
I have the luxury of listening to
Hey, you know who's sitting across? Hey, Tom, I got something for you. There's a person sitting across from me who used to, and he's running over. He knows what I'm going to talk about. This person used to tape us when we did International Connection with Adam Vaughn. And this person hated doing it. That's that person in the city. Just ran out of the room, okay?
Oh, so he knows me.
He knows your voice, yeah.
Oh.
He didn't want to hear it very long, but he ran.
He knows my body. Maybe.
Okay, back to your, back to your topic.
Well, I was just saying, we have the only artist in the world right here.
Yeah.
Very, very few people can get you because of the low power. I just wanted to throw a couple of interesting points at you.
Go ahead.
Pick up where we were before.
That's right. You can do it.
Billions of dollars are being taken out of the SNL. Where have they really gone? And what's the connection with the Bush's son? Is there an interesting...
Well, I know... Tom, I have it. I had it from Cosmic Awareness. They announced about 10, 11 years ago in 1970, 79 that certain members of the, we'll call them the Illuminati, withdrew $790 billion from the world economy, from their own distribution, and locked it back into their private vaults. That was 11 years ago. Knowing that at that point, you knew the 80s had no economic backing support structure, no money. I think these scandals have been propped up through the 80s to get people to have a fake explanation, a red herring about the fact that money was taken away a long time ago. The 80s have been a bankrupt decade, haven't they?
Yeah,
but
it's absolutely.
It's been running on software.
Yeah, running on software.
And the industrial structure.
On money being hardware, the effect of the printing press.
What would you say about a listener?
You may want to mention to the listeners what you mean by that is that money is the creation of the printing press, which has now been obsolete by electric technology.
Yeah, so there's no basis for money, and credit was based on, say, from 1945 on, we were run by credit, but the people supporting credit from the hardware angle withdrew the credit 11 years ago.
Well, that's right, and as a result, we're back
in a
super civilized tribal state where there's barter is the only form of transaction.
Yeah, and this caller from New York, if you heard them, they're distinguishing.
Yeah,
art is money, and work from the heart is something different. We all have to work. We all have to make money. He calls that art. Okay, heart is barter. Barter is the direct encounter face-to-face with your needs and instincts, right, with your basic addictions.
That's right.
And people barter on all levels. So that's operating from your heart, from your instinct.
That's right.
From feeling, that's tactile. So we're living in a Mesopotamian environment, a Roman environment, the most primitive caveman environment. All times and spaces are what we're experiencing now.
Present, everybody's passively present, actively and passively present everywhere on the planet.
We take pleasure.
Everywhere in the universe. Yeah. To really understand.
That's the holistic.
And three.
The hologram.
The hologram.
Yeah, the universe is a hologram. The whole universe is a hologram. Partly supported, I suspect, by aliens. Now, you've been tracking the aliens. You have a particular prediction about the function of the aliens. Do you want to say something about that?
Well, I would only want to just touch on a very brief part of it. I don't want to go into the whole deep part of it, as you know. But I would like to say that I do think that there is one part of the Holy Office which does talk about the fact that spiritual forces will have to get people geared up to believe that the planet is being invaded by aliens from outside this planet.
Yeah, that's Bill Cooper's role. Bill Cooper's a man running around talking about abductions, but carry on.
And I think that we have to realize that the spiritual world is another dimension.
Yeah.
It is a dimension that is without outside our realm, but one that the whole world eventually will wind up into. But that if the world is going to be prepared to believe that it's going to go to war with an invader from outside this world, naturally, there's going to have to be more and more a pattern develop of more and more sightings evidence, obvious evidence, barbells, quote unquote. That was an excellent description, by the way, of visitations from quote aliens from other planets or from other outside this world, which we are seeing, and I do think more and more and more as we get down to the end time, we will see more and more of this happening and these sightings occurring.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the of huge holographic events will be the arrival of certain alien capacities that the citizens of the Earth will see. That would be a major hologramic point, in the sense you're saying it won't be real or viable. It won't be something that will be related to the spiritual world or to truth. I don't know what truth is.
Well, if something pops out from another dimension into your world and leaves a mark and then moves back into another world, all the scientists in the world who are looking at that spot with technology that is used to measure things within the material universe will not be able to see it, hear it, feel it, or touch it, or sense it in any way.
Yeah. All right, Tom, we've got some more callers. Call back when we run low again. Thanks, we'll leave with that percept.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sorry to cut Tom off, but we do have two more callers waiting in the wings. So does it keep this steamroller effect going?
Yeah.
Do you want to take a break? Do you want to get a towel?
I could never take a break.
Hello, CKLM. I'm
always on duty.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Andrew.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Andrew.
How are you doing?
Good.
Did you hear us talking about your check?
My check?
Yeah, number 114. I just realized I haven't given it to CKLN that you gave us back November 22nd.
No.
Yeah, so it'll get back to you. Some people here might be able to cash it. Okay?
No, what? How can you begin by confusing me?
That's our job, Andrew.
Oh.
you live at M4K1E8?
No.
Are you another Andrew?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, don't confuse me.
No 14s with me.
What 14?
Two fours. I replaced the first one with a four.
I know which Andrew this is.
Yeah, my convention.
Oh, this is the guy with the long blonde hair? Yeah, the radio net.
That's right.
The Sonic, Sonic
okay.
Addict. Yeah, I know who you are.
I've been trying the experiment tonight, and I've realized this is the only radio show I can't sleep to.
Yeah, that's
okay,
the guy.
So you
yeah.
And usually I turn it off, but now I'm just not sleeping.
Yeah, in other words, okay, this is curious. You cannot handle media ecology.
You're putting words in my mouth.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's my job.
However, oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, listen. I wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say three things. I've forgotten the third
art,
now.
All right.
But I'm hoping it'll come to me.
Yes, it will.
You were talking way back about the discarnate effect on the phone.
Yeah.
How my voice is coming from somewhere else and I can't hear you through the earpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just like you use the word psychedelia, the psychedelic effect.
Yeah, I didn't really like using that, but...
Well, you used it, though.
I know, it was a mistake, maybe.
A mistake?
Unless you can justify it.
Well, no, I just thought that, you know, it's not with everybody, or not everybody, but certain people are after the psychedelic effect.
Oh, okay.
And you're giving that to people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Okay, good. You like the
word. So, in essence, that you are the media drug?
Yeah.
And then the next guy that you talked to, you told him that that he didn't understand sex.
Yes.
Did you say that?
That we all... Nobody understands sex.
Right, and then he said that he didn't understand you.
Yeah, and
that
I was sex.
That you must be sex.
Yeah.
And I remember months ago, this guy got very, very upset and said that he didn't like your disembodied voice on the radio, and you invited him to come and sleep with you.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes. That was Dave. Dave from Baltimore.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know what that means?
What?
That, well, okay. If sex is not understanding, and that not understanding on the phone is what this guy is doing with you, then you guys must have been having phone sex.
Yes.
And that if also that you're drugs, that on the phone, all at the same time, you can be sex and drugs.
Yes.
All at the same time.
And videotape.
So you know what I want to know? Where's the rock and roll?
Yeah, I said videotape. Sex, drugs, and videotape.
Sex, drugs, and videotape.
I'll tell you.
But it's supposed to be sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, if you want to follow that path, the rock and roll...
And three, isn't three the magic number? No more, no less?
No. You know where the rock and roll is? It comes at the end of the show. We call it our Tai Chi church yoga hymn.
Tying the chi, are you?
Yeah. Chi. You know about chi?
My feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, so rock and roll is always our hit song at the end.
Oh, I see.
Another year.
All right.
But the theme at the beginning, what was that all about?
Oh, that's Subgenius Mood Mud. That's Mood Mud.
I think you guys need some Sir Genius music. Is that a Subgenius?
Sir Genius?
Yeah.
What would that be?
Well, something above Subgenius, obviously.
You mean like S-I-R, like something to
No.
Lord Genius?
No, not Lord Genius or Knight Genius.
But listen, we need everything.
Oh, yeah?
We need you. We need you, the audience, so we do not exist. A game...
Look, you know what you just did?
Flexible.
You put me into the impersonal state by
to the
categorizing me as the audience.
That's right, yeah.
How can you do that?
Because that's what... Well, that's my power. That's my ability. That's my skill, my genius.
I see. The way you get all that reverb?
Yeah.
See, I don't get that reverb when I can.
I know.
Wow. That's great.
See, we can split it up. We're splitting up acoustic space.
Oh, that's good of you.
And you're a professional, almost acoustic space manipulator. So I think you should keep listening to the show.
Well, do I have a choice?
No.
There you go.
You're bolt awake and dead.
Would you tell Cecil Taylor to keep playing the piano?
Yeah. Do you know what I told? You know what I told Cecil Taylor when I had a little encounter with him in 1975?
What did you tell Cecil?
He said he knew I was musical. He knew I was hip. So he said, "What instrument do you play? What do you play?" He says, I said, "I play the radio." Prophetic, wasn't it?
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. We play the radio.
Sure.
Phonograph record.
Yeah. Sure. We are jazz.
So when I ask you about rock and roll, why didn't you just say, "Andrew, I am rock
over and
roll"? Well, I'm not rock and roll. We're jazz.
Oh, what?
We're an alternative.
Am I tuned into the wrong state?
Yeah, we're all.
I wanted Q107, didn't I?
Yeah. No, we're not rock and roll. We do that. We're so divorced from rock and roll, we offer it as a church hymn. Can you imagine that? We kind of use it as an icon, as something in the distance, a mountain, a twin peak.
Twin peak.
Because we're jazz. You know, more better blues. More better blues. I mean, are they going to have me on the discussion? Who is it? Diaspora Music.
It's what's his name? Winston Smith.
Yeah, they're going to have a discussion tomorrow night. Is it?
Tomorrow morning.
Morning?
No, right, no, it's nice. He was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, and they're going to discuss. They got Clifton, they got Winston, they got Mr. Diaspora. They should have me on, right?
It's the truth.
Yeah.
The truth.
I mean, I'm going to talk to them about Mo Better Blues.
You should tell them that the first letter of Mo Better Blues is M, which is the big M, which is McDonald's.
Yeah, Twin Peaks.
It's all the same.
Yeah, you're smart, Andrew.
Yeah. H-O is the scale for the next letter, which is M, which is H-O marginalized.
What is H-O?
H-O. H-O scale.
And you alone.
What's that?
It's the standard scale for model railways.
Ah, oh,
which is the train that's training us to think of H-O marginalized.
Shall we say 120?
Yeah, via rail cuts.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, Andrew, when you were 15, what did you think you'd be doing when you were 25? No, really, can you think back to what you thought you'd be doing?
No, you know what? When I was 15, I thought I would be dead by the time I was 18.
Why?
Because I couldn't conceive of being any older than that.
That's so sad.
That's true. No, it's true.
I think that's
true. I actually thought I was going to die in a car accident, if you want to know the truth.
You know, you're about the 400th person who's told me that who's under 30.
There you go. Well,
I think that's part of the discarnate effect.
It is.
Kids who grow up discarnate, like Bruce himself, he sometimes feels suicidal. You know, he still got that hangover from high school. And
No, it wasn't suicidal. No way. It's just, it's just the... Well, I'll tell you what I now realize.
Okay.
Is that I'm immortal.
She says...
No, it's true. See, you laugh at it. But and it's funny because you expect people to take in the absurdity of everything you say. But you're laughing at my absurdity.
After using the record.
Listen,
after using the
record. You're going way over your head, Andrew. You misunderstood me at a couple points, but I'm not going
to
embarrass
you. Which 2 points were those?
First of all, I don't
job.
Take you seriously, and whatever else you said.
Oh, we're in whatever the next else
moment.
I said.
Yeah, we're in the next moment
points.
Now. I can't remember.
These are the twin points.
I began at $240 a month.
You began at $240 a month.
I made the twin points.
Yeah.
I was making $360.
$360. $1 for each degree on the circle.
You said that when you were 15. That's why you couldn't see 18. You can't live
I would recommend them to anyone.
Why didn't you ask me about 14, Bob? I thought that was the magic number today.
It's a new number for Lemurian sensibility, which I detect you had.
If
you wouldn't have been on. I don't think
you've
ever been on
my
show before, have you?
No.
Yeah. So you call up on the 14 and you're picking it up, and I thought you were check 114. And
most
you are the new Lemurian sensibility. He laughs with the recognition.
Oh, this you know, is the best thing that happens to me all day.
Yeah, when you're laughing, you're learning. That's one of our main maxims here at the church. When you're laughing, you're learning.
Is that true?
Laugh along with Bob.
Yeah, I dropped my G's. Ooh, when the farms were talking about when they had fields.
What's the
what am I talking about? That made no sense.
He's quoting from Who's Forgotten Furry Lint.
We do that.
One of the most awesome takes.
You're talking about Furry Lint.
Yeah, Furry Lint was... just like it's not one meaning. The tapes of Who's Forgotten Furry Lint.
You know,
has
more better blues.
I mean, are they going to have...